roughly 24 to 92 hours ago, Stab's team of comedy scientists commissioned four specific humorists to give various potentially comedic takes on several random topics, which they'll now perform for the first and likely last time in front of a live studio audience in a show called Stab.
Oh, hello. Hi. Here we are for the second show of Stab. Thank you for sticking around, everyone. I think we ended up with the same amount of people we had at the beginning. We had an influx. That's just the way the Lord works. Are you ready to meet your contestants? Yes? Okay, good. Can you hear me? I'm sick. Are you ready to meet your contestants? In seat number one, we have Bill Wallace right there. Just sitting next to me. You hugged my leg the whole time. In the middle, we've got Mark Berg. Mark Berg. So tiny. So tiny. Mark Berg. And last but not least,
this is a good lineup.
Jesse Jones. He's huge. He's a giant among men. Hello, guys. Welcome.
This is like the odd open couple.
Yeah, it's very, you guys, I want to see a threesome. Very good, guys. Thank you for being here. Bill Wallace, this is your something number show.
Yeah, 6 or 10.
6 or 10. 6 through 10.
6 to 10.
Thank you for being here, Bill. I don't know if you guys knew this about Bill Wallace. He cannot spell. He can't spell. Sorry to put that out there, but he can't.
I expected him to have like hieroglyphics after you said that.
You can't. Just check it out right there. I can't read, so it's fine.
We're yeah, even. This is just numbers.
That's right. Right next to you, we have Mark Berg. His first time on the show. First time on the show ever.
No, it's fine. Thank you.
Mark Berg. We didn't trust him. And now we do.
No.
No, I'm kidding. Mark Berg.
You shouldn't trust me after I brought six people and then subsequently walked them.
Oh, they all left. They were talking the whole time, too.
Yeah,
they're kind of bitches.
You I should apologize.
Tell them that. You should tell them that at work. No, I'm kidding. I don't know if you knew this about Mark. But he could do the splits. Come on. You could do the splits. Show us.
You could Let's do see it, buddy.
It's been a few years since my stripper days.
Okay,
probably requires a lot of warm-up.
Yeah. Right. Well, you know, excuses. Down there at the end, we have Jesse Jones. Yeah. He's pretty. He's really pretty.
That's
Jesse Jones.
Untrue.
He's on another show.
Yeah.
This will be his 8th show in 16 days of Stab. Of Stab. 8 Stab shows in 16 days.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Just watch the quality plummet.
Just watch the law of diminishing utility. I don't know if you knew this about Jesse Jones, but he likes a good beer buzz early in the morning.
Sure.
Let's play Stab. All right, let's play Stab.
I would.
Yeah. That's right. Dropping the paper.
Oh, did I do it again?
You did.
Oh,
you dropped. You dropped the paper.
Flail around.
Is it every time I make a reference to Sheryl Crow, you drop paper?
Yes.
I think every that's time. What it is. That's it.
No.
You're going to get...
Oh, no.
Oh, you're not. You are not strong enough to be my man.
Oh.
I don't know.
Oh, that. Cheryl.
The first cut is the deepest.
That's right. Let's not waste them all. I want to do this for a whole season. I'm just Sheryl Crow references.
That was the last show. Okay, I think I got everything.
You got it?
Yeah.
In order?
All right. We'll see.
Well, you go third, so.
8th show, guys.
Stop making it about you. Bill.
Hey.
This segment's called This Was Today Once.
Yeah, fuck you for this.
Yeah? Bill, this date, my voice is going. It may not get through. Bill, on this date, 1995, Johnny Moss, American poker player, died. Also on this very date, 1966, Jimi Hendrix Experience releases its first single, Hey Joe, in the UK. How did you celebrate these events in tandem?
Well.
High energy. Good high energy start.
Yeah, I'm trying to keep it up. my dick.
There you go.
To commemorate the late poker player Johnny Moss, I decided to invite a few friends over for a game of poker. And to celebrate the anniversary of Hey Joe, I cranked up the heat in my house to about 110 degrees during the game and lined the sweatband on my forehead with about 10 doses of LSD.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hoping that my altered state would somehow give me the upper hand in the game. About 45 minutes into the game, the jacks, kings, and queens seem to begin mocking me from the cards in my suddenly green and scaly hands. The table shakes like jello and my heart quivers in a similar fashion. I had to get out of there. However, no longer being able to feel my extremities, my escape plan was reduced to no more than my pale, sweaty body meeting the floor with an ear-shattering thud after a fall that seemed to last 1,000 eternities. My friends exchanged gasps around the table, and I hear a distorted voice exclaim, "Somebody call 911." But before he could finish his sentence, a single hand raised up from the spot where I had previously been sitting. Cards still clenched in its grip. It opens. The cards fall face up one by one. 2, 6, 2, 2, 2. My friends sit back down slowly as color rushes back to my now grinning face. Victory never tasted so sweet. I want to make out with Jason.
Very good. Very good. Four of a kind. Jason is here tonight. Jason, welcome. Why not? Mark.
Yes, sir.
On this date, 1971, Don McLean's 8-plus-minute version of American Pie is released. Also on this very date, 1969, British House of Commons votes 343 to 185, abolishing the death penalty. How did you celebrate these events combined?
Well, I did anything that a person who doesn't know what the fuck to do with those two things together is, and I wrote a fan fiction.
Okay.
Here it goes. Today, December 16th, in the year of 1969, the year of our Lord, the House of Commons has voted and agreed upon to abolish capital punishment. A very great day for England, indeed. However, we have decided to have one final public execution for old timey's sake. And it has been unanimously decided and agreed upon by all 538 members of the House to execute Don McLean, known American musician, for writing a largely successful single hit, American Pie, 2 years before he can write and release it, as foreseen by our time police, making today officially the day that the music has died. Now, you may be asking yourself, what? Time police? What is this, some sort of new thing? Quite the contrary, because the time police have been around for over a millennia, keeping everything safe by ensuring no one else is tampering with the timeline and arresting people for crimes that they have not yet committed. We're probably also going to get rid of the time police, because, I mean, I'm not really sure, but it's probably kind of a fucked up thing to imprison someone for committing a crime they have not yet done. Some guy named Philip K. Dick wrote a book about this a couple years back, and it got us thinking, so we used our time police, and we looked forward into the year of 2002 and saw some dick actor named Tom Cruise playing in the film adaptation of the same book, and we were like, we don't like this shit at all. Ever wonder why Stonehenge looks the way it does? Well, that's because we had the time police bring back Metallica for the opening of the Stonehenge, and they blew the whole goddamn thing. Everyone in attendance agreed it was the most metal thing they had seen. Now, where I do apologize, it seems I have been rambling on and on. This house floor whiskey is damn delightful. Now, yes, that's where I was. Back to the sentencing. Don McLean, you stand before the time court, charged with the crime of writing a successful single hit in the genre of Americana and causing joys for listeners for decades to come. Sure, everybody will enjoy the song when it comes on the radio for 40 or 50 years, and maybe they will even air guitar along, but someone needs to stop the song before it releases and incites hundreds, if not thousands, of shitty open mic musicians from singing this 8-minute piece of shit at a lonely bar to make people think that they're somehow deep and musically inclined for playing the song. And really, Don, an 8-minute song with a chorus that repeats 7 times. What the fuck were you thinking? This song makes us wish that we reenacted the death penalty. What were you thinking? That we would just let you get away with this? Heavens no. So it has been decided that here today in Great Britain, we are sentencing you, Don McLean, in the year of 1969, to be hanged by the neck until death. Do you have any final words? Oh, yes. Yes, God, yes. Please don't hang me. I don't even have an idea for a song called American Pie. Please, please just let me go. I swear I won't even attempt to write a song, let alone a full album. Please just let me go free. I am sorry, Don, but your sentence has been agreed upon, and we will be moving forward. Proceed. The Speaker of the House motions to the guard to pull the lever and drop Don McLean to his certain doom when suddenly a shot rings out. Another shot. A third. The rope around Don's neck snaps and he hits the ground and starts running as fast as he can. The Speaker of the House looks into the distance and says, "My God, it can't be." But it was. Sure as shit, it was Jean-Claude Van Damme from the rival Time Cop agency, making sure that the timeline was not altered by their standards or whatever the fuck. Fuck you guys. No one even knows how the fuck the time stream works and where you can alter things and where you can't. Okay? So fuck off. And as Don McLean continued running, he thought to himself, "Oh man, a long, long time ago, I can still remember how." And the timeline corrected itself.
Very good. Mark Berg. So many words for such a tiny body. Very good.
I'm like a supernova.
You are. I didn't even see you breathe in once. Very good. Jesse Jones on this date, 1975, the first broadcast of One Day at a Time is on CBS TV. Also on this very date, 2011, a report claiming nearly all research on chimpanzees is scientifically unjustified causes the U.S. National Institute of Health to place a moratorium on any studies on chimpanzees. Does that even make sense, what I just said? Okay, they said all the shit about chimpanzees bullshit. You can't keep doing that. And One Day at a Time aired.
It's a good thing my prompt doesn't depend heavily on the understanding of the...
Yeah. No. We don't need words.
No.
We don't need sentence structure.
That's all right.
Syntax? Fuck
you don't
no.
need to know what I'm about to refer to.
Please don't make me read it again.
You didn't read it the first time, so I can't make you read it again.
Please don't make me attempt to read it again.
All right, here we go.
I'm sick.
Thank you, John, for this time to introduce you, my fellow panelists, and the listening audience to my latest project, which I think will ultimately lead to more humane comedy research practices. You see, John, I am calling for an immediate worldwide moratorium to be placed on the production of all new situational comedies, as it is my belief that nearly all production of these sitcoms is comedically unjustified. Since the creation of the situational comedy for radio nearly 90 years ago, the format has continued. Production of these cruel, inhumane programs with very much the same methods and comedic scenarios introduced almost a century ago, while contributing little to no advancement in the field of comedy, or indeed within the field of situational comedic production itself. If anything, the production of situational comedies has regressed in the last 30 years. Intense studies of the track record of this regrettable genre have proven that for every All in the Family or Harry and the Hendersons, there are at least 267, according to Jim's... And yes, dears. Making it irresponsible, even borderline criminal, to continue production with a verifiable confirmed failure rate so outrageous, so egregious, and which so far outpaces any successes this field of comedy may inadvertently stumble upon. I believe you'll agree that it's time we phased out this archaic institution and attempt to put this horrific past behind us. I yield the remainder of my time.
Very good. That was, this was, Today Once. This show is moving right along. This next segment is called The Top 5 Google Searches Of. Gentlemen, please have composed the top 5 Google searches from the following perspective. A classist Santa Claus. A classist Santa Claus. We'll do one at a time, the top 5. Go ahead and start, Bill.
Can we put all the chocolate cookies and milk on the south side of town?
Very good. Jewel encrusted sleigh.
Very good. That's
what. We're going to start off with a little one.
Or have the little one in the middle.
Oh, it's so tiny.
It's how I like it.
Lucky Pierre.
My first. International shipping rates to countries that end in Stan.
Sleigh directions excluding low-income neighborhoods.
Very sad.
And freeways.
And freeways. And freeways.
You are not the father sweaters.
Similar to Bill's, my second is the fastest route around the third world.
A classist Santa Claus.
Classist.
Is it elves or do they prefer little helpers now?
Does what I do count as a charitable donation?
Veterinarians, reindeer vaccinations, near Detroit.
Fourth of five, please.
My wife is unemployed. How can I leave her?
Wow. That hit close to home, actually. Go ahead.
Why can't poor people buy shit for themselves?
That's a good question. Glasses. Santa Claus.
Seems to answer itself.
Look, you asked a Jew to write a thing about Santa, okay? It's going to be me.
No, you're fine. No, I'm not making fun of you. You're good. It's good.
My fourth search. Ratings for sleigh anti-theft devices.
Okay. Yep. Fifth of five.
I think my reindeer have been stealing from me. Should I have them deported?
What's everyone got against Donald Trump?
Fucking Santa.
It's not me. Yeah, it's
Santa. Santa's a dick.
And is there a function in Word for easily deleting names with apostrophes in them from lists?
That was the top five Google searches of, which brings us to the Topical Haiku Challenge. It's a local one this time.
Yeah.
Please have written three topical haikus in regards to this next story. Local Sacramento professional basketball player Rajon Rondo missed out on one whole game this past week after being suspended for hurling insults at a known homosexual NBA referee, Bill Kennedy, calling him a fucking faggot. Rondo has since apologized twice following chastisement for his initial apology. Let's hear three haiku in regard to Rajon Rondo.
One at a time.
One at a time.
This first one goes, professional ball, suck my professional balls. Why are you so hateful?
Very good. Very good.
Did they already update my Wikipedia page? Fuck, they did.
My first is titled Rajon Shamo. A fucking faggot? That's no way to talk to refs, you fucking moron.
Very good.
My next one is I said I'm sorry. Even missed out on a game. What else do you want?
Very good. Very good.
Wouldn't have said it if he wasn't acting like such a faggot.
Fair is Rondo.
Fair is fair. Second is titled Kings of Insults. It's just like that time Wayman Tisdale called that ref a jive-ass turkey.
Wayman Tisdale. He's dead.
Is he?
Yeah, he's dead.
Oh.
Yeah. He was a bass player, too.
Yeah.
In a jazz band. I had his autograph when I was a kid.
Just happy I worked Wayman Tisdale into a haiku. That's all I care about.
Wayman Tisdale.
That's impressive.
Very good.
Oh, you missed your game. Did you miss one little game? Go fuck yourself, prick.
What is the big deal? Words may hurt, but it's not like I called him a nit.
Oh.
Ran out of syllables. Though,
no, that was the exact amount of syllables, and that was the whole point of that.
Very good. Scary and clever. Scarily clever.
My last is titled, If You Don't Like That, You Don't Like Homosexual Intercourse. Man to man, post up. Splits the defense, finger roll. Swish. Value the balls.
That was Topical Haiku Challenge of that piece of shit, Rajon Rondo. All right. This next segment is called Write an Instructional Poem About It. Write an instructional poem about it. Bill, please have written an instructional poem on how to fuck shit up.
Yeah.
How to fuck shit up.
Yeah.
Let's hear an instructional poem.
How to fuck shit up. It's simple. Just count 1, 2, 3. For every number, there's a step. Count them along with me.
All right.
1, do the opposite of what you know is right. Take that voice inside your head and send it on a one-way flight. 2, drugs and alcohol will always lead to fun. If you do too much and start to worry, just refer to step 1. 3, forget to finish your instructional poem about how to fuck shit up. The first 2 steps are all that really matter anyway.
Very good. Very good, Bill Wallace. Yeah. Mark Berg, please have written an instructional poem about how to get away with murder. How to get away with murder. Why are you shaking your head? Believe in this.
Because I wrote this at work, and I was like, nobody better look over my shoulder.
But all those girls you work with, right? That, like, that would make sense that you'd be writing murderous shit the whole time. All right, go ahead.
Oh, to kill, to maim, the silent fame, it brings me so much joy. I care not whose head I cut off, no discrimination from girl or boy. People ask, how many have you killed so far? 32, I reply, with a smile, because that's what gets me hard.
erotic.
So for those who wish, I have a list of how to make a head go squish. Lay out the tarps, lay out the tarps, is the beginning of your quest. To stab someone in their heart, their facial expression is simply the best. Get them drunk so they'll pay no attention to when they see you coming, and so that they won't think twice when they hear your creepy fucking humming. Roll them up so you do not stain your beautiful hardwood floor. Hold them over the bathtub and slowly let the blood pour. Leave them in the tub and make yourself some grub to quell that second thirst. And finish the meal you earlier received out of the back of the hearse.
Ooh.
Now, the next part's tricky and so awesomely sticky to dump the body in acid. It gets me excited and oh so delighted my penis goes to erect from flaccid.
Sorry, I don't know why I'm doing sound effects on this. Go ahead.
Make sure you bought the plastic bins to let the body dissolve. Not to create the same mistake Jesse Pinkman let evolve.
Spoiler alert!
The final part, which I do say is art, is the finest and most complex. How to rid your victim's sludge past your neighbor's duplex. It's simple, my dear, so have no fears, you live in the modern world. So pour them out and taste a drink and let the rest down the kitchen sink.
Very good, Mark Berg. Mark Berg, how to get away with murder.
Murder Jesse. Is funny.
Jesse Jones, please write an instructional poem on how to improperly respond to a server when they bring the wrong order to your table. How to improperly respond to a server when they bring the wrong order to your table.
Here's a tip for dining out. The where's and when's and how's to shout. So your feeble-minded serving lout will know what it is that you're on about. If your meal is slightly cold, be sure to loudly scold. Push them over, be so bold. They should have done as they were told. Is it well when you asked rare? Bulge your eyes, your nostrils flare. Leap to your feet and grab their hair. You're not at fault. What should you care? Toss them about and scream your name. You're better than most, but they treat you the same. What is this jest? Some kind of game? Whom must you stab? Whom must you maim? Your money will buy you out of this jam. Erasing the video caught by their cam. Next time, they'll probably cook your ham. So inside someone, you won't have to cram.
Very good. That was write an instructional poem about it. Brings us to our final poems. Category of the evening called Location, Location, Location. All of you run businesses in shitty locations. Please make us want to come to your businesses. Bill Wallace. You run a skinny jean outlet chain in USA's fattest state, Mississippi. Skinny jean outlet in Mississippi. You're giving me nothing with your face. Your face gives me nothing.
Good. I think. Hey there, are you fat? Of course you are. Come on down to Skinny Jim's Skinny Jeans Emporium and Outlet Superstore Plus. The plus is that we also sell shirts for whales. We have whale shirts. So come on down to Skinny John's Skinny Jeans Emporium. We also sell flurbs. Are you out of flurbs? You need a spare flurb for the winter season? You could wrap yourself up in a flurb. Look at this whale shirt. This says whale Jennings on it. Look at this. You need a flurb? Maybe your dog's out of flurbs. Put a flurb on your dog. Put it on your kids. Come on down to Skinny Johannesburg's Jim's Skinny Jeans Emporium, where you get a free pair of skinny jeans for your chili cheese dip. We fill it up with chili cheese dip. When you walk in the door and you browse, you can dip stuff in it when you browse for your free. Look at this whale shirt. This says hashtag krill or be krilled. Look at it. Oh man, this will go great with your new flurb down here. It's Skinny Jacob's Skinny Jeans for your dip and cheese Emporium Outlet Superstore Plus with whale shirts and flurbs. Come on down.
Very good.
Oh my God.
Jesus.
There's no way you wrote that much on that.
I know. It's like you're either a genius or the opposite. Mark Berg, you are selling the idea of a space program to Mozambique, Africa. The idea of a space program to Mozambique, Africa.
Gentlemen, I'd like to thank you formally for attending this meeting. Now, I know you're all busy people and you've got a lot going on with your recent terror attacks, piracy, and having over 55% of your population living under the poverty line. But you know what makes people stop thinking about their everyday troubles? Space travel. That's right. I said it. Space. S-P-A-C-E. Motherfucking space. Say it with me. Space.
Space.
Everyone likes space. And stars and shit. Everybody likes that shit. Who doesn't look up at a star and be like, that shit's ugly? Everyone's like, no, I want to go to that thing, which is dumb because it's made of pure hydrogen and you'll die, which is what you can learn if you go to space. And with this new Star Wars movie releasing this Friday, I think it's the perfect time to unveil a space program. Everyone loves that space shit. If anybody here doesn't like space, you hate your country, and you hate your friends, and we'll throw you in jail, and you can go fuck yourself for the rest of your spaceless life.
Laugh.
I don't know where that one came from. Space agencies have always been in the hands of the ultra-rich capitalist countries, and I think it's about high time that we let the less fortunate try their best at sending human beings into goddamn space in a goddamn rocket. Now, I may just be a traveling vacuum cleaner salesman from New Jersey, but I know potential when I see it. I was traveling around. I went to Mozambique. I went to Zambia, Botswana, Tanzania, and asked them all what they thought if we started a space program in Mozambique, and they said, Mozambique is just a bunch of fucking douchebags. You guys aren't a bunch of douchebags, are you? That's what I thought. I look around this table, and I see winners. Winners! And what do winners do? And what do they never do, I mean? They never give up. They never give up. Even when the cards are stacked against them, even when they lack the technological and monetary resources to start such an endeavor, they never give up. Now look, I know it's not going to be cheap, but I know a guy who said that he obtained the blueprints to Apollo 13 off the internet, and he's willing to be the project foreman as long as we can supply him with Code Red Mountain Dew and pizza for the duration of the project. So what do you say, gentlemen? Do we start construction tomorrow, or do you need to go home and discuss it with your wives like a bunch of pansies?
Very good, Mark. A plethora of accents coming and going.
All
very
all
good.
Over the place.
It was very good. Very good. Are you heckling, Carla? Carla, the heckler.
I don't know if that's a heckle.
So was it a heckle? It was just a question.
It's creative.
It was an honest question.
It was a good question. Sure. This brings us to the last. Jesse Jones,
yeah.
We're still doing location, location, location. You are an iPad salesman during the medieval period.
Gather round and behold, I, Sir Lord Macintosh, Duke of Apple upon Xerox, do possess wonders beyond knowing, held within this magical rectangle of light and sound. It is quite simply the most dazzling technological advancement since the trebuchet! No! You cannot eat it. But you can, with a flourish of a digit, slice visions of fresh fruit. With the dexterity of an assassin sent from the deepest yellow Orient. Be amazed as it falls away into invisibility. No, you cannot eat the fruit which you slice. It isn't real is why. No, it won't cure your multitude of sicknesses. But with it, you can diagnose your ailments better than any leechman or bloodletter could ever dream. You may also press it against any open seeping wound or sore, and while it will not absorb, nor clot, nor mend, the slight warmth will soothe momentarily. You may speak to it, posit queries, which will ultimately be answered after many frustrating attempts. No, it will not ask you questions. No, it will not love you, even if you ask it to. And if it said it would, could it in any way be truly fulfilling? You may swear at it, and it will do little more than return a light scolding. Unlike swearing at your whipmaster, which would result in a severe lashing. So this is better, is what I mean. Once its stored powers are depleted, there will be no way to replenish them. So use its magic sparingly and wisely. Though fret not. Once the magic of its light and sound have been drained from its fragile frame, it may still be employed for many rudimentary functions. Yes, you may wipe yourself with it. Yes, you may defecate upon it. Carry it away to a more appropriate receptacle. Yes, you may bludgeon with it.
Sorry, my finger hit. Sorry. Very sorry.
Yes. You may bludgeon with it. Say, with your friends, when they inadvertently press magical buttons in the middle of your well-thought-out presentation. Yes, you may bludgeon with it. And while its corners may be rounded, they will still deal punishment. So wait not! Procure yours today for nothing more than a 2-year contract for your indentured servitude. The line forms to the left of the pile of defecation!
Very good. That was and always will be Stab. One more time for your contestants, Bill Wallace!
Yeah. Comedy for life. Comedy.
Comedy. Mark Berg! One more time for Mark Berg. He's right there. Still so tiny. He threw water at him. He did not grow. Thank you very much for being here. Jesse Jones. One more time for Jesse Jones. If you'd like to hear more Stab, please go to one of our many online outlets. The primary of which being stabforgold.com. Stab, the number 4gold.com. Check us out on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, YouTube, all kinds of shit. Subscribe to us. Thank you, guys.
Whale shirts. Whale shirts for sale after the show. Whale shirts.